Do I sound good?
Do I sound beautiful? Sarah could probably come in. Aaron, you can always talk louder.
And podcast I can, voice.
And you want me to move back
podcasting.
There?
Podcasting.
Gutters, if you go visit the Johnsons 3 doors down, you'll be perfect.
Saying things about stuff and our
actually, you know what
we
should do? I should just call in, and so you just set the phone here so you have the volume control on it, and I'll just be in the other room talking on the phone.
That would be good.
Yeah.
You could probably work. Just mute the phone and still carry through the wall.
Yeah, I'm loud. I am opening this episode the way I've opened some others in the past, the way we open most of our episodes, all of our episodes, with what you're drinking. And we're also joined by a special guest.
We have a guest?
We have a guest!
What?
Yes. Sarah.
What up?
Thanks, Sarah. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
Your excitement is not appropriate.
That's the time of excitement you need for TV. This is
radio. Oh, I should tone it down a little?
Yes.
What up?
Perfect.
Is that all right?
Perfect.
Okay.
So, Adam, what you drinking?
I picked up a 6-pack of Third Shift Amber Lager, Band of Brewers.
My name's Adam. I'm drinking a fucking faux microbrew by Macro Brewery.
We had special guest Sarah, but unfortunately, she's been kicked out.
You guys, I don't know if I feel like potting anymore.
Due to uncalled for heckling, our guest has just been asked to leave.
Aaron, what do you got?
I'm drinking the Doppelbock Corbinian, which is by Weinstefina, which is A, one of my favorite breweries, B, my favorite type of beer, and C, I've never had this before.
Cool.
It's fucking excellent.
What do you got to say about that, Sarah?
I love drinking beers that do with the purity laws of German beers. That was kind of lame. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, Sarah, what are you drinking?
No one cares.
Oh.
Too much. That's what.
Maybe a little. I'm drinking Hopium IPA by Foothills. Foothills.
Awesome. Foothills.
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 It's a North Carolina beer, and that's cool.
It's brewed with Haterade, apparently.
Accurate.
I am drinking Sweet Josie Brown Ale. That is from Lone Rider Brewing Company here in Raleigh. Yeah, we are here in Raleigh.
Yeah,
so here in Raleigh,
North Carolina beers.
Another North Carolina beer. Handcrafted in a can.
There you go.
Classy.
Sweet Josie. That's
exactly.
Beer.
So, we have some plugs and some news and some things
well,
for the people.
Well, if you are tuning in and today is December 1st, today is the last and final day for your The Next Sticker Will Be Better submission for the contest.
Yes, you have until midnight tonight.
Midnight.
If it's December 1st. If it's December 2nd, dude, you're SOL.
You better
Why
save
the hell
it for
is,
next year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just that's just pathetic.
Exactly.
We gave you a month.
A month. How much time do you need? Come on.
Where
a little photoshopping.
Can you get a size and information about what kind of sticker you need to make?
On our Facebook, Twitter.
Or the last, like, 6 episodes.
I'm in school, right? It's hard.
It's a 2x2, 300 DPI. You could give it to us in a JPEG, PDF, PSD.
300 dicks per inch.
EPS, if you're into vectory stuff, why not? And yeah. You had posted some graphics onto the Imgur for
yes,
Damwart Major, so you can utilize those.
I don't know how to pronounce that application's name.
Imgur.
It's either Imgur or Imgur. Imgur.
Imgur.
Imgur.
I don't know.
But yeah, our stuff is posted on there. If you look at our Facebook page, probably 4 weeks ago, you'll find a link to the template and stuff.
Excellent. And
yeah,
then also,
templates.
We have a holiday show coming up. And we will be having special guests.
Special gets?
Guests. We will have special guests.
We will. We have to reach out to one who is pregnant and doesn't know that she's a guest yet. Try to guess who it's going to be.
Dude, I'm not ready.
No, it's not. It's not me.
No, you're never going to be welcome back again.
But yeah, so it'll be an all game episode. So yeah, you can tune in and listen to us make fools of ourselves.
Did we decide on
what
date
that's going to be?
We
do.
We got to figure out recording schedules, but it will definitely be either next week or the week after. So keep your ears open for that.
And your eyes open. Check the Twitterverse book.
Twitter, Facebook, you know, all of it.
And we will let you know. But it doesn't matter because you're all loyal listeners, so you listen to everything we post and look at everything we post and respond to everything we post because you're awesome people. Thank you. I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving.
Huzzah.
Have you found a way to get rid of all that fat?
They did.
Did they?
By warring with each other inside of Walmart's, fighting over 55-inch TVs for only $199.99.
I haven't even gotten the chance to see how many people died.
I think it was actually this year is fairly minimal.
Yeah.
Minimal carnage.
It's only about 200 people this time.
Yeah. Give or take. So how was moving in?
I stay in.
How was moving into your new studio?
It was good. Dad? I moved probably, a literal ton and a half of just stuff twice yesterday. And I'm definitely feeling it today. I feel like a fucking champion.
Was Sarah there helping you?
No.
Where was Sarah?
Sarah was asleep. Dog.
I wasn't asleep. I was sitting on the couch writing a paper. I broke my ankle. I'm not just like not helping because I'm a jerk. I am a jerk, and I wouldn't have helped if I were fit.
Your foot is out of the boot.
No, I wouldn't have asked anybody to help me move this crap because it's all scraps of steel. Most of my boxes have a little logo on them that says UHC, which stands for unnecessarily heavy crap. And that's to signify that this box is going to be a bitch to lift.
Pretty much sounds like you suffer the disease that all sculptors suffer from. The I acquire way too much shit that I plan on using eventually, but probably never will problem.
I call that the Aaron Early disease.
Mm. No, it's, trust me, every sculptor has this problem. Yes, it is. I think it's something we're genetically born with and like predisposed to like go towards fields that will allow us to accrue large amounts of materials.
What are other fields where you would accrue that much?
Scrappers,
hoarders,
pickers, hoarders,
cat women,
beanie baby cat enthusiasts.
Yeah. Are beanie babies heavy enough to qualify? Is
you get enough of them, I'm sure.
Okay. You are not going to be able to defend beanie babies on this podcast. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have no idea what that is in reference to.
So, my dad and mom my parents decided when my mom was living that instead of putting money aside for a college fund or like a trust or something for me, that they should invest in Beanie Babies. So,
that's unfortunate.
Right. So, I was thinking, you know, when I graduated undergrad that I could sell them at $1 a piece and, you know, make
$300?
$500 or $600.
Oh my goodness.
At least $23,
right? So I was thinking that I could make several hundred dollars. You know.
You had to pay people to take them, didn't you?
My dad wouldn't let me sell them because they were worth a lot of money in 1997.
Nice.
So my dad might be a Time Lord and we might be rich on Beanie Baby funds.
From 97?
In 1997. Look for it.
Nice.
It's like the old useless Civil War money.
Oh,
it won't be worth anything.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. So everybody takes their Beanie Babies. They all collected them in the 90s. They now decide that they're worthless because everybody collected them. So they're up there at the flea market right next to your 1997 Kenner Star Wars figures.
Shut up.
Hey. So everybody's throwing them out, getting rid of them, saying, screw it. I'm not going to do it. I guarantee. I would put money on the year 2045, Beanie Babies will have a big comeback. They will be the
2045,
new...
2045, you say?
They will be the new Hummels.
2045. What is that? How many years from that? 30...
Almost...
1 year?
Just say 30
years.
It's almost
31
years.
It's 31 years from now. I'll be long dead.
You know what else will be around 30 years from now? Jurassic goddamn world. Fuck yes!
Alright.
Oh my god!
I actually have some problems with
the
trailer.
Shut your faces!
Yep. No, I got problems. Alright, I gotta throw two problems out there. We know enough about dinosaurs to know they had feathers. So why the hell do the dinosaurs have feathers?
Because I still don't believe
Number two. I don't know how I feel about the few lines that Chris Pratt delivered.
Here's the thing. Here's what I'm thinking. because his lines are so fucking stupid and he delivers it with such gravitas. I can only think he's supposed to be like Quint from Jaws, where he's the dumb redneck who will save us all.
But see, my problem with that is in Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a fun movie. It's a good movie for the Marvel franchise and everything. There's this one moment where everyone is like feeling down and they're all in a circle on the ship and they're like, and he's trying to convince everyone to just come together. And I couldn't help but laugh watching him try to deliver those lines and then kind of walk away and stand in the corner and sulk for a minute. It just had this real corniness to it.
Yeah.
And I just have this fear that they're going to try and give him some sort of weight to his character. But he cannot carry weight. He's not the kind, at least anything I've seen him do, he is, I think someone else on the internet has coined this, he's the golden retriever actor. I mean, he's just a big, goofy guy who's a lot of fun. And, you know, you have fun throwing a frisbee to him and stuff. But he's not going to be there for you when you need that, like, Denzel Washington sort of, I need, like, my heartstrings to not only be tugged at, but just straight ripped out.
You know, I don't know how he got a serious role, and now I'm too afraid to ask.
You don't know? He could surprise you.
He could.
He
could
be that, he could that diverse
totally
of an actor.
Surprise me. And
I hope
so. Or he
could do Barrymore and get killed in the first 5 minutes. Just saying.
Yeah. Or Cranston from Godzilla. Oh, yeah. They show him the entire... They show, if
whatever,
you haven't seen
it came
by
out
that
last
point
year.
If
it, came
you, I mean,
year. It came out this year?
Yes. It came out in May. It came out in May. That's 6 months ago. Get over it.
couple things I've noticed. Obviously,
but dinosaurs have feathers.
There's a lot of homages to the original, which the director also directed Godzilla. In Godzilla, there's a lot of homages to Jurassic Park. So you could see even in his previous film, he was amped that he was going to be directing Jurassic World. The Gallimimus scene is similar to the Gallimimus scene in the first movie. The dinosaur foot coming down in the mud, that's also an echo. There's one little thing that I love about this trailer. And it's only, what, I've watched it a couple times. It's only
is it
like
the slowing down of the theme music?
No. So one of the last scenes nice where touch all the people mm-hmm are running out of the museum and they're kind of in the park like and they're that in the boardwalk. If you've ever been to Islands of Adventure, you would have visited the Jurassic Park land area. I believe a good portion of the movie was probably filmed there because they were like, why would we build a theme park when we have three? So they actually used the theme park for certain shots. So when you go to Islands of Adventure, you're actually on the set that they filmed the movie. And if you pause it in the background, in the near future, when dinosaurs are taking over islands, Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville restaurant will still be up and running. So go ahead and invest now in Margaritaville.
I want to know where Jeff Goldblum is.
Dead.
No.
I'm pretty sure he'll be in the movie.
He can't be dead. He has to be in the movie.
He's
the only reason I will go see him.
I'm sure they set apart like at least a third of the budget to get his ass in there somehow.
He's probably, along with all the other intelligent people, not going to a theme park that has a bunch of dinosaurs in it.
I hope he's having his father drive him around in a station wagon.
What if they get Vince Vaughn
at the 11th hour?
So
no.
What bothers...
Nobody seems to remember Vince Vaughn.
No,
was
he was
the second.
He was in
Nick Van
Owen. Lost World, yeah. But he's an animal activist who's an idiot. I mean, he's just an idiot. And his character does not even come back. Like, he's
Nick
done.
Van Owen is pretty all right.
Anyway, I had a problem with the trailer, and it was that they showcase the velociraptors, which is awesome.
And everybody, they were feathered.
Everybody knew there were going to be velociraptors.
There has to be. They're, you know.
However, they also showed this genetically modified dinosaur or whatever that's apparently going to be the focus, the bad guy of the film, the one that everybody's after. They're trying to figure out some way to kill it or capture it. They show Chris Pratt riding a motorcycle, flanked by five or six full-size velociraptors that are not all over his ass like he's a fucking Christmas ham.
It's because they have been genetically modified to work with him.
I think they're dogs. I think they fucking trained them to, like, hunt
the,
this thing.
There is a theory that the idea will be old-school dinosaurs versus new-school dinosaurs.
And that is going to be dumb as shit.
Godzilla worked in Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla is also the size of the goddamn moon.
We'll see. You guys are so judgmental. Just give it a chance.
So when they're going down the river and like the herbivorous dinosaurs.
Kayaking with dinosaurs.
Yes,
that was like a dream come true
are,
for
like,
me.
Eating the moss off the trees. I was wondering if that was based on the river ride at Disneyland, which I remember riding and I was like, this is lame, but I bet this would have been cool when I was 8. Like, and then I saw the dinos. I was like, oh, that's what they meant for it to be.
Maybe.
Just saying.
I thought it was really cool.
I don't know. I was more excited to see the Star Wars teaser.
Hold on.
Than the
time out. Time out.
No, we're done with Jurassic Park. Star Wars time.
I haven't seen it.
What?
What?
I've been fucking busy at crap.
Hold on. We're going to get a very pure moment. We're going to pause the podcast. I'm going to watch the fucking Star Wars trailer.
Dude, you have to watch it right this
yeah.
second.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a couple problems.
Of all the people who have... Yeah, I have not seen it yet.
What?
So.
Yeah.
It's anyway. 85 seconds.
We'll, seriously,
teaser.
We'll be right back.
Folks, we are back. Adam has now been enlightened.
We have dabbed his
butt.
Holy
before,
shit!
I have one major problem.
You
with
can't
this trailer.
You can't go harsh on my buzz. Hold on.
No. This release date of December. Every Star Wars has been released in May.
Yeah.
On my birthday. That is like a tradition. The last week of May, right around my birthday, I've always gone to see Star Wars movies on or around my birthday.
That's because
it's not Lucas.
Harrison Ford broke his leg, and they had to postpone.
Damn it,
Harrison. Recording, didn't
they? Right. How dare you trip over the Falcon?
No, there's so much more dough to be made with Christmas and Thanksgiving movies than there is with
the summer
movies. Like, summer blockbusters are kind of over in the industry. Christmas movies are where it's at because no one has to work and everyone has so much dough.
Okay.
Take my money, Harrison Ford.
Okay. So just
but
watch
it. That's my only problem. Otherwise, I'm stoked. I'm totally stoked. I'm excited.
I just watched it. And, if
you
know me,
five more times.
I'm a Star Wars fan since I was 10, and that was a lot to take in. and
I like it. It's like, what, six shots?
It was six whole shots, man.
Yeah.
You only got to see really, like, one character, but the first thing they did was played up the whole, these are not fucking clones anymore.
Yep.
Nope.
They are human beings or aliens of other races back into the stormtrooper suits.
A black stormtrooper? My joke was...
It worked in Spaceballs. <the movie.
laughs> Yeah, sure. Worked in Blazing Saddles. Yeah. I don't know. There wasn't too much to really go off of.
I think
there's
there was.
A lot.
I think
there
was
so
a
I
lot.
Think
the
shot in the Millennium.
It was mostly
know a lot
vehicles.
About Star Wars, but I think that the shot of the Millennium Falcon is really Falcon. Is really like reminiscent of J.J. Abrams' other movies. So like, I think that it has the same feel that Star Trek did, and I think that it has the same feel of like his cinematography in Cloverfield and Super 8.
There weren't too many lens flares, though.
Well, no, but I imagine when they're on a bridge,
because
there might
be... Since they're on a planet with two suns, it would just be a light
screen.
Star Trek needed the lens flares to make it visually interesting, because otherwise it would just be people talking to giant screens.
People
but
inside
Star Wars
IMAX.
Doesn't need lens flares.
Okay, so they don't need lens flares, but the lens flares were done practically. They had friggin' guys with LEDs behind the wall just shining them into the camera instead of doing them in post.
Which is very cool.
It is cool. There were too many.
I picked up on at least three or four things from this trailer that
go on.
I didn't even anticipate. One is the opening with the stormtrooper. It's pretty awesome, you know, as you said, debunking the fact that these are all clones, or the Empire stopped using clones during...
Well, there is a extended universe book where they this siege of Kamino and they destroy the Kamino cloning base.
Yeah.
This has something to do with it.
The next thing is the show, the little roller droid. I think that's very 1970s... droids, not the fucking droid army droids.
Agreed.
The stormtroopers, fucking awesome. They based those almost entirely off of the original Ralph McQuarrie paintings that he did in the 70s for the original Star Wars trilogy. They're going to be awesome, I think. Then, what was the last thing?
The lightsaber?
Lightsaber was pretty cool.
I do have a couple issues with that. I feel like the lightsaber hilt, I feel like would be better served at a slight angle away from the user's body, so that you could actually create like a fork in which you could maybe stop a lightsaber from sliding down or something like that, or some other object from sliding down. But I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do with that. Like, that alone is a whole new fighting style.
It's to keep you from getting your hand cut off. Luke Skywalker knows about that one.
I think that'll just like the new fighting styles that'll be developed because of this lightsaber we've never seen before done in live action.
But the last thing was that I noticed was the fucking X-Wings are exactly the same, which is awesome.
Yeah. You know what's funny? That actor they've got sitting in the seat for the X-Wing shot.
Is that Porkins?
No, his face actually reminds me a little bit like he's Wedge Antilles' like son or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just kind of has sort of square, serious...
Do you know who Wedge Antilles' nephew is?
No.
Ewan McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the actor? Yeah. Oh, the actor. Okay, yeah. I was like, why is Ewan McGregor suddenly...
Well, if I told you his actual name, I'd be lying because I don't know Wedge Antilles' actual name.
Like, Wedge Antilles is a badass. The dude survived all three movies.
Better than Dak. Am I right?
Yes. But I'm really, really happy that they didn't open with any of the original cast.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out who did the voiceover, and I went to the Internet Movie Database.
Was it Benedict?
I feel like... No, I think they've got this old British guy. I'm trying to remember the other movies he's done that you would remember him from.
Is it Max von Sydow?
He's German or something. He's
Sydow's German.
Yeah.
But you were saying a Brit.
Well, no, I've seen him in movies where he plays a British character. But I believe as a person, I think he is German or Swiss or something else. He's in that movie where the devil plays chess with a knight from the Crusade.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of his first movies. He plays the knight from the Crusade. I'm trying to remember that actor's name. But he's old. In that movie, he was really young, because that movie was from like the 50s or the 40s or something.
Internet Movie Database.
I can't remember the damn name of that movie now. That movie was awesome.
So, some of my favorite things about the movies we've discussed has always been... the graphical imagery that they come up with Jurassic Park. It's the logo of Jurassic Park or Jurassic World. With Star Wars, it's not only the Star Wars logo, but the Rebel Alliance emblem, the Empire emblem.
Logos and iconography pretty frequently in the Star Wars franchise to quite effective parallels of marketing and logos in the world. Max von Sydow, you were totally right.
Sydow.
Yep.
We're jerks. Good job.
Sweden. He is Swiss. But logos are important.
So Star Wars.
Logos happen. Star Wars.
Visual imagery. Get a point across.
Funny enough, I've gotten to a point where I'm actually interested in finally pursuing tattoos. I worked at a tattoo shop when I was 19.
Tattoos or getting tattoos?
Getting tattoos.
Dude.
I've drawn up some tattoos for some folk. I worked at a shop when I was 19. I have no ink to my skin. I have decided the only tattoos that I want are the Rebel Alliance logo and the Imperial. Because I don't think I'm going to wake up one day and not love Star Wars. So much so that George Lucas tried to make me hate Star Wars and it didn't happen. So, maybe if we do continue the show into the year 2015, we will meet a nice tattoo artist. We will get a nice interview while I'm getting tattooed. What does that sound like? Good episode?
No, it sounds like a terrible episode.
It's just going to be...
So, like, as the only person here with a tattoo, it's really loud. Tattoo machines are not.
Oh, we can do it in between. I mean, it doesn't have to be exactly at the time.
You want to do your interview, get your tattoo, and then interview him again if you still like him afterwards.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I'm well aware of how noisy a tattoo shop is.
All right. Yeah, it's noisy, and like, you are not going to be able to be like professional, funny interview guy. You're like,
I am never professional, funny interview guy.
Well, if you ask, I'll do your tattoos for you.
No. No.
Oh, by that standard, shit. So screw tattoos, man. I'll just cut out some CNC, some steel out, and we'll just brand you.
Yeah, I'll just
No.
I'll just sharpen a screwdriver and dip it in some paint.
No.
But seriously, are you gonna...
If you're a cool tattoo artist in the area, please give Damn Art Majors a holla on their Twitter or Facebook or email. And
beyond being a cool tattoo artist, I need you to actually be good. And like, look yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself.
So placement is key. Are you or are you not going to get each one of these on your nipples?
No.
Obviously, he's getting them on his hips.
Yeah.
No, it's where my gun is. It's a double tramp stamp.
Oh.
Just two of them right next to each other.
They're going
to
be slightly offset like the Sons of Tatooine.
Yes.
That sounds beautiful.
There's going to be a burning aunt and uncle in the background.
Oh, no.
You can do some manscaping to kind of get the Dune thing going on.
Mm.
Yeah, for the horizon line.
Alternately, you could not do manscaping and like set them as like emerging from the lake in Dagobah with all the jungle around it.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
We'll see.
No, you know what he's gonna do? Rub little lines around his belly button. Just like radiating from the belly button.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
And the Empire 2015
just around the corner.
Butthole. I barked in my mouth. Thank you.
Hey.
All right, let's talk about.
Butthole tattoos are nasty. Whatever, dude.
Let's talk about logos.
We have been.
Let's talk about logos not involving your nipples and or butt.
So, all right, I heard that you saw a logo that made you irate.
I didn't see one that made me irate. I heard about one that made me irate.
I would like to hear about this logo that made you irate.
I was listening to another podcast that's done by a comedian and an illustrator, and the podcast is called Baby Geniuses. And
based off the Eels song?
No, based off the movie. And
I love Baby
It has
Baby
nothing
Geniuses.
To do with the movie at all. But it's by an illustrator named Lisa Hannah Walt, who is also the creator and art director of BoJack Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
And the comedian Emily Heller, who is absolutely hilarious. She's a LA/New York resident. Anyway, they were talking about logos, and they specifically began the segment by talking about logos that they hate and why. And they brought up a point, or they brought up one of the logos that I could not stop thinking about how just fucking weird it is. And it's the Planner's Peanut logo. Mr. Peanut. Yeah. So, and the guy that they were interviewing about this, he's like, I hate mascots that are also logos that are either rich or they're trying to sell me a version of themselves to eat. Like, do you realize how fucked up that is? Like, Piggly Wiggly's trying to sell you meat. Peanut's trying to sell you himself.
The M&M guys. Santa loves us.
I mean, when you go with, like, you know, Coca-Cola, is a bunch of polar bears trying to feed you Coke. That's weird, but still it's
But they're not rich.
Or they're not, you know, committing some sort of cannibalism.
But Sandy Claus, he tries to sell you Coca-Cola as well.
That's fine. He tries to sell you a lot of things, like, you know,
Mercedes
deals on Black Friday. But it's so bizarre. Like, I've not been able to stop looking at logos since then and trying to figure out if there's something, you know, ethically strange about them.
Well, by that standard, I feel like the Jolly Green Giant's just trying to sell me his crap.
Or even worse, his penis.
Oh, yuck.
Driving 440 to work every day and back, I see a lot of homemade logos, if you will, for local businesses. A lot of lawn care. And the worst are the HVAC. Let me tell you, if you own an HVAC company, your logo must require a picture of a sun and a picture of some ice. Hot and cold. No originality. doing 18 different gradients, just some of the worst vector work I've ever seen. I don't understand, you know, and it actually got to a point where I was driving to work one day and I was thinking, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all the schooling I got on design, maybe all the things I picked up along the way, all these, you know, seminars I've gone to, all these classes I've taken, maybe they're all wrong. Maybe you need a logo, just get a logo. Just slap it on there. Who cares? Doesn't need to be memorable. Doesn't need to invoke an emotion. Doesn't need to do any of that shit. Just fucking slap a logo there because you need a pretty picture to associate your name with your company. And I'm like, you know, maybe there is something to it. And then I just go, no, I have to believe that there is a point to good design.
Well, do you think that there's like a difference between like high level marketing, like Coca-Cola and FedEx and Starbucks? Like they have really memorable brands and really memorable logos. Like if you think Starbucks, you're thinking about that like nasty, perverted, like sexy mermaid.
Right.
Right. If you're thinking about FedEx, you're thinking about like really bright colors and an arrow that you can never unsee. But for, you know, Billy Bob's Heating and Air, like, do you give a shit what his logo is?
It's,
you call Billy Bob because he's down the fucking street and your cousin works for him.
I don't know. I guess coming from a family of a bunch of entrepreneurs, like, I just kind of believe, like, if you're going to put yourself out there, you need to put your best foot forward and have pride behind, you know, your letterhead, pride behind your vans that are going out there, pride behind your business card. And why would you not want it to be the best it can be? I mean, it does come down to money. Design is not cheap, but ultimately just giving it enough time or, you know, the know-how to structure even just a typeface to look the as good as it can goes a long way.
Well, I mean, what happens is a lot of these guys that start these, you know, and they're pretty much always blue-collar operations that have kind of piss-poor logos. And
clip art logos.
Yeah, and what happens is these guys are like, they start their company, or they inherit their company, and they're like, okay, we're going to rebrand ourselves. These guys know nothing about design, nothing about creative, so they go to someone who does, and they go, how much would it cost? And these are guys that are just barely covering their overhead, covering the guys they've got, even the illegals. And, you know, so, I mean, they're barely scraping by a lot of these guys. And so, but they want to rebrand whatever they're doing or try to, and they go to some creative type and they're like, we want to do this. And they're like, okay, that'll be $200 an hour for creative work to redo your logo.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, how many hours is it going to take? And they're like, well, it's going to be a day. We're looking at 8 hours. And they're like, I can't do that. Like, I can't afford that.
First off, if you're finding a designer that's charging $200 an hour,
you go to a firm, that's, you're looking at $200 an hour.
If you go to a firm. But I mean, there's plenty of freelance guys out there who,
all right, so it's $50 an hour.
Right.
Freelance, right?
Sure.
These guys still can't be a yeah, like,
I was about to say, they still, they're just,
$50 is, I mean, for guys that know nothing about
ultimately,
art.
Ultimately, it's an investment in your brand.
But they don't see it like that. These it's are hard,
it's a hard
guys.
Thing to sell.
They've got, well, for them, it's, I've got to make overhead by the end of the month so I can make payroll. If I don't make payroll, my guys walk off the job. My guys walk off the job, I don't get more jobs.
Right. They go from carpet cleaner A to carpet cleaner B.
The trick
they're
is,
they're trained.
Though,
yeah.
The trick is to convince Joe HVAC that, you know, having a memorable, clean logo with your trucks all designed with your phone number, your email, all your information, bold and memorable, is worth the investment. Because ultimately, you will remember the cleaner logo driving down 440 than you would the, like, just air, you know, letters that you buy at Office Depot that you just slap up on there. There is a value to design. It will have customers coming back. It will have people talking. It's just, and I agree, these guys are just trying to, you know, keep their business afloat, but it is an investment. What I'm saying is if they're willing to make the investment, there can be trends that show results.
I agree. I mean, I absolutely agree that if they, I think the problem,
and they all need real Twitters, problem, because that's where all the customers are.
No, the problem, honestly comes down to education.
Sure.
If people were educated properly in school to learn the importance of art and good design, that can have a lasting effect much beyond, oh, my carpet is really clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, good service is important, but a good logo along with that good service will probably stick around in your brain a lot longer than just having a clean carpet.
So how do you think that that should be, like, taught? Like, do you think that that should be part of an economics class that you take in the ninth grade? Or so, like, well, brands are
art.
A thing. And
it should be taught in art. We shouldn't be cutting art
but
programs.
But it should also it should also be touched on in
art
small business classes. You know, a lot of people do online classes. A lot of people do night classes for small business who are just trying to get out there.
So you think the small business things should focus more on branding?
I'm not saying it needs to take up a huge chunk, but it needs to be implemented.
They
could
spend an hour talking
Speaking of carpet cleaning, we had a perfect example of this. We had a client come to our studio. They wanted us to rebrand their website. They wanted an emphasis on the color purple, despite the fact purple was not part of their brand. So the first thing they give us is a giant image of a baby on a purple carpet. What's the problem with that? The color purple is associated with death. When you don't have oxygen, you turn purple. Many of the colors, blue and purples, babies, bad idea. If you notice, if you go into, like, the healthcare...
I think about the risen Christ. Like, I think about Roman royalty and the risen Christ.
Sure. I mean, it invokes a lot of different imagery, but I've taken classes where they've explained never pair a baby with purple because of asphyxiation.
It's unsettling.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just think it's a fucking weird color.
It's like blue and red and shit.
No, I mean, like, what colors do you associate with babies? Light pink, light blue, maybe
yellow,
yellow,
pastels.
Yellow.
Sorry,
yeah, Easter colors.
The color of royalty in there anywhere?
No,
prince's nightgown. No, yeah, this is fucking
weird.
I think it comes. I honestly come for me. It comes down to elementary and middle school education, making art a part of curriculum, and I think breeding creative people. Not breeding, but you know. Nurturing creativity in people, that whether or not they're going to pursue a creative field, is important. It develops a different kind of thinking that would improve a lot of the problems we have.
Right.
If people looked at things from a more holistic, creative way, as opposed to just purely just twisted, manipulated facts, and if they took the time to step back and think creatively about a lot of I'm just repeating myself. But.
So if Mrs. Smith in the fifth grade can make an impact on Billy Joe, he might spend a little more money to get a good design for his carpet cleaning business, or he might not vote to cut
or
money
he would,
for the arts. Oh, geez.
Or he would. I think I broke the seat.
Great.
You sitting too hard on that?
Apparently. Or they would see the importance of hiring someone who does that sort of thing, or they wouldn't put down the kid or the person who studies art, or I think it would, it would make a lot of improvements for a lot of people. I think it would help a lot of different people. If there was a greater understanding of the importance of art and creativity in our lives.
If you are interested in learning more about logo design and the psychology behind logo design, I recommend a book called Logo Design Love, A Guide to Creating Iconic Brand Identity. It's by an author, David Airy, who is a freelancer. I believe he's in Europe, and he's not a freelancer that any HVAC company rolling around Raleigh is going to hire, but I've read it. He's got a second edition out. The Kindle price is $17 on Amazon. There is a lot of really great information for designers out there on not only designing great logos, but also how to be a freelancer, how to talk to clients, how to make a connection, and even more importantly, things like, do I charge by the hour or do I charge by the project? Good book. Highly recommend it. Check it out. That's my logo talk.
So when you guys do freelance stuff, do you charge by the hour? Do you charge by the project, or does it depend?
It depends.
Depends.
Project.
You charge by the project. Why do you charge by the project?
Because I don't want to limit myself to the amount of hours. If I agree to 10 hours, and I meet that, and then the project's still not done, then I'm cutting into my profits, and then we're also going to have a problem with the client if I charge over 10 hours. So if I, depending on the project, you get the project at the rate, and then we have revisions. Every flat rate comes with one round of revisions. If they come with more revisions after that, then we start a new invoice and we start billing for the next round of revisions. It keeps everybody honest. The client feels more comfortable about it. And in that book, they bring up a really good point. I can bust out a logo in 5 minutes. Well, all right. You know, somebody working in the field for 25 years can bust out a logo in 5 minutes. But it took them 25 years to gain the knowledge and the experience to bust out a logo in 5 minutes. So do they charge for only 5 minutes, or do they charge what they're worth?
Yeah.
So I believe in doing the project, you know, charging by the project. And everybody seems a little more comfortable that way.
I do a minimum, and then that is follow. For me, I'm always working with materials. So there's a materials cost. And then I usually, what I do is I resell the materials at a marked up price. So the person I'm doing whatever work for, they're not seeing the original price that I pay.
Right.
I'm giving them a markup because I have to go out and source this. That's my time. then I do a minimum. I tell them, listen, I'm not even going to take the job on because it's not even hitting my minimum.
Right.
So it's not worth it for me to even, like, turn on a tool. Like, someone's like, I need this done. I can only pay $25. And I'd be like, I know someone will do it for me. Or I'll just be like, you know what? Just give me $25. I'll do it for you as a friend, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a larger job, there's a minimum cost, and then. But for me, I keep track of my time. I got to know exactly what I'm doing, and I usually quote. I'd give people a quote, and I tell them it might go over, but I usually quote high, so I can come under. So that way, like if I look at, all right, someone wants a side table, I know I can make a side table and 16 hours, but I'll quote them for 18 to 19 hours, and I'll tell them, this is the cost, this is what it's going to be. They agree to that, and I'm like, all right, sweet. And then I'll usually come under. I'll usually come at 15 to 16 hours. And then they look at the price, and they like, all right, I told them it would be $800, and I'm coming in at $650 or something. They're like, sweet. I saved money on this project.
But that still covers your costs and your time.
But it's covering my cost and my time for what I charge per hour.
What about you said yours depends as well.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, there's a lot of different factors, and it depends more on the type of drawing or painting that I'm doing for somebody. I mean, you've got some commissions, you know, right off the bat, well, this is going to take more than 3 hours. This is going to take 30 hours, but you don't know to what degree. So if it's a bigger project and I cannot wrap my head around how long it's going to take during my initial sit down and planning out of everything, sketching, compilation of material costs and potential labor costs, if I can't figure out how much that's going to be, I will contact the client and say, all right, let's go over this project. And then I'll give them a project cost and just bite whatever expenses I have on top of that. To limit that, however, so I don't get totally screwed, I will say we can only make two changes. And then if we need to do any more, it's going to cost this amount. And I have them agree to that on a contract stating that, you know, if it gets to that point, we will have already had, you know, very in-depth, clear discussion prior stating that you're going to pay me more if I have to make more changes. If it's a smaller project, say it's a black and white drawing, and in the first 3 minutes of me thinking about it while talking to the client or after talking to the client, I'll charge by the hour.
That sounds similar to what I do, though. Yeah. I mean, you have to at least figure out what it's going to cost you to hypothetically get the project done, and then if they come back with more and more revisions, then you just have to revisit that original invoice or start a new one.
Yeah, the killer though is you have to remember to agree upon the change aspect of it right then and there.
Right.
Before you even give them a cost of the project, you got to say, all right, here's the limitation before we even, you know, well, before money even exchanges.
I mean, the way I work, I haven't done a lot of these commissions, but I've done a few where I'm building like custom either pieces or furniture. And what I do is there's a $75 fee for any designs. You want to see any design? You want me to put a piece of pencil to a piece of paper and start sketching some stuff up and make it look nice? That's gonna be $75 up front.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not even taking anything on. If you want to just buy my drawings, because someone could buy my drawings. So if you want to buy the rights to my drawings, well, that's a whole another ballpark.
Yeah.
Because then I actually have to go get everything copywritten, and talk to a lawyer to actually buy the rights to my work. And then, so that way I can either get reimbursed or sell it outright, which could be thousands of dollars.
Why you always have a firm, clear contract.
Yeah, well, that's also why you talk to a lawyer.
Here's a little tip that I picked up along the path. Just because you have a contract, if the client wants you to go ahead and email them the contract, you kind of need them to actually do more than just say, oh yes, I signed it. You actually need that signed copy back.
Yeah.
So you can do that digitally, which I guess is like the problem VeriSign. That you're gonna get. You can use e-signature or
it's like DocuSign or VeriSign.
You can also have them like printed out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're real old school, you can have them printed out and scan it back in signed.
Or fax it.
That is insane.
Yeah. Or you can just go meet them face to face.
What's wrong with faxing stuff?
Faxing is the fucking worst technology. Faxing should not fucking exist.
Faxing shouldn't fucking exist.
I know, I worked at a bank for years. Like, it should not exist. It's totally outdated. We have so much technology that is already in the building of all these places that use fax machines. Like, we have the technology to never use a fucking fax machine again. We are wasting so much time and money using a fucking fax machine. How much money do you pay me an hour to walk across the floor to go use the goddamn fax machine? Because it's not where I am.
Think of how many old businesses would go under right now if we just got rid of fax machines.
None of them, because everyone has Kmart,
Radio Shack.
Everyone has a fucking tablet, a fucking smartphone. Like,
you can just sign. You can turn it sideways and just sign with your finger.
Yeah, you can sign on your damn phone.
You gotta think about the corporate buildings. Those guys don't know.
Those corporate buildings can suck a dick and get rid of their fucking fax machines.
All right. A fax machine saved my life once. That was my only.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. I'm trying to change the subject.
He got really drunk. Him and Fax were driving home from the bar, and Fax said, "Give me your keys."
Yes.
I'm driving.
Yes.
All right.
Epson. God bless the point.
Epson CS2400 took my keys.
The point is, if you don't know, talk to someone who's done this. If you're an artist, you probably know other artists who have gone through commissions, dealt with clients, dealt with companies. It doesn't matter. There are other people out there who have gone through this. Talk to them. They will point you in the right direction. If they're in your area, they might even know a lawyer you can talk to as far as getting legal things looked over, getting things signed, getting things notarized, whatever needs to happen, they can point you in the right direction. So, you know, your friends are probably your greatest resources as far as your friends and peers. Great resources.
Talk to them. Because they don't charge you for advice.
Well, you might have to buy them a beer. If it's me, you're going to have to buy me a beer.
For what? Sorry, I fell asleep.
I'm going to throw you out the window.
Oh, jeez.
No, just kidding.
Drive your cell phone.
So I think that it's interesting that you guys were talking about negotiating with your client before you have them sign the contract. Like, this is what our contract is going to be. This is what I'm agreeing to doing. This is what I'm agreeing to. You negotiate, like, what you're going to be doing in the contract before you
Have contracts made up. And I show them a contract before we even talk about anything.
That's usually the case.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's usually a good idea to mention the contract before you even start
discussing. Yeah, I have something I need you to sign.
If you really want the job, you're willing to alter your contract if need be to make everybody happy.
I guess that's the point I'm getting at. Like, if you, Aaron, are going to do a job for an hourly rate rather than a flat fee, or vice versa, if you, Adam, are going to do something that is I have no examples. All of a sudden, I'm sorry.
Well, that's why, I mean, that's why you do
like, I'm like the Chandler Bing of the podcast. Everybody's, what does he do?
No, I know what you do, man. Like, if
well,
you're
that's
gonna,
why you do a signed quote.
Cut somebody a deal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You like, do a signed quote.
I have no reference point for that, but okay.
Well, no, you have a list of your expenses, material costs. You have a breakdown of what everything will be, and you have the client sign that, saying they have approved
yes,
of
yes.
the money
okay.
that they will
yes.
eventually be spending.
So I was saying all that to say this. It's something interesting that I'm learning this semester. I'm, full disclosure, not an artist. Whoa.
What?
What? We got a non... No, you're in library arts.
Yeah, library arts. I'm getting a Master of Science, thank you. I'm in graduate school for library science. I'm doing my master's at...
library arts.
A large college in the area.
Book
Guess
turn
which
art.
One, guys?
They can't see you. This is
yeah.
DeVry?
NCC?
Definitely DeVry.
UNCG.
I got accepted there. So, that
Central?
It's something that you do...
That's what I
shut
said.
Up. It's something that you do with library papers as well.
You.
Like,
it's
when
no one
you
ever does.
Have someone come to you with a question, you negotiate the question. So, like, the thing that they think that they're looking for may not be at all the thing that they're looking for. They may say, hey, I'm looking for books about cancer, and you're like, oh, Christ, what? But they're actually looking for...
astronomy?
Well, no, more like they're looking for books about some specific kind of cancer that their aunt has so that they can explain it to her daughter. Okay, well, you need a children's book. You don't need a book for grown-ups. You need a book that's at this age level, you need a book with this amount of information. You need a book that's, like, that we may not have, but we can order for you.
Right.
And, like, you negotiate, like, what they're looking for to get them to the right thing. So you negotiate the contract to get them to the thing that works for both of you. It was a little bit of a tangent. I was
no,
just trying to feel special.
Well,
sorry.
It was a tangent.
I just wanted to relate to your pod, all right?
So it's like Google, but a person?
I can't believe you just said that to me.
So it's like...
No, it's not like fucking Google. Google has an algorithm that figures you out, and a human negotiates, like, what you're looking for in a totally different way. But Google is very interesting, and we can talk about that for hours later.
So it's not entirely a tangent. I usually, during the first discussion with a client about what they're looking to have commissioned, there's some sort of, like, chasing of the... end result in conversation that is very similar to that. Like, I'll say, are you familiar with this person's work? Have you heard of this style? Are you familiar with what this material looks like? Do you know about this type of paper effect? You know, that kind of stuff. They'll ask me questions of the same degree. Have you ever heard of this guy? I really liked his work. I saw it in Soho, blah, blah, blah.
Has anyone ever said that to you?
Yes. And I had no fucking clue what they were talking about. I don't even know where what the hell Soho is. I don't know if it's in Los Angeles or
no,
New York.
It's in New York.
It's New York.
Okay.
What's a Hojo?
A Hojo.
It's a Howard Johnson.
It's in Canadian. Right?
What Howard Johnson hotels? You call them Hojos. Sorry, I'm digressing.
Never heard of it.
They're in Canada.
They're all over the East Coast.
Yeah, I think I had one client just go... Are you familiar with Da Vinci? And I was like, I really like his sculpture. Like,
he makes really nice pasta.
It's like, I really like his horses, the bronze horses. You think? I'm like, no.
What fucking bronze horse?
Da Vinci's bronze horses.
Which
cast ones? Horses. Based off, have you never seen Da Vinci's cast horses? They're bronze castings.
I've seen the
drawings of them. They
I've seen his drawings, yeah.
Yeah, they did sculptures based off of the drawings.
Where are the sculptures?
Where did I see them?
In Soho.
No, D.C. I saw them in D.C. They had
a
special exhibit going at one of the history museums that you can walk into for free because I pay tax dollars.
Yeah, that is the best thing about our nation's capital.
Yes.
We own so much art. It's awesome.
And we get to see
also,
it for free.
The state of North Carolina owns a shitload of art.
Go
see it.
Yeah.
Go to the North Carolina Museum of Art. We
also,
have a shitload of art.
Tiny Treasures is still up. You can see a Vermeer. Like, you can be this far from a Vermeer that's, like, really tiny.
That was at least 8 inches. That's what gesture he made. An 8-inch gesture.
It's a non-visual medium.
I don't think I understand what you're saying. You mean they can't see me? So, why am I wearing clothing?
You're not.
For our comfort. For our viewing pleasure.
Well, I'm going to start Skyping in for these so I can be nude.
I mean, no one said you had to wear clothes.
It's nude because I'm artistic.
Yes.
I thought the difference between naked and nude was, like, nude is not wearing clothes and naked is being nude out loud.
Nude is professional. Uh-huh. Naked is frisky.
Frisky.
Yeah.
Frisky. Sorry.
Naked is when it's a detriment to the person that's nude.
Not necessarily. How's it detrimental?
Are babies naked?
Think
or
of
nude?
Any context that somebody's naked.
Are you drawing a baby?
No, it's just running around the trailer.
If you're drawing the baby, then it's nude.
When you're naked, you're either doing something intimate or publicly embarrassing. When you're nude,
really?
I couldn't go.
Respectfully disagree with that.
I can't go with that just because of the whole. When I was like an infant, I know I ran around naked and I couldn't give a shit.
I didn't wear clothes. It was the greatest thing ever. I didn't wear clothes till we moved to the city.
Okay, well, I'll follow it up with an example that furthers Adam's suggestion. In figure drawing class, the teacher's never going to say, "We're going to draw you naked."
No, yeah, no. I think nude is just a professional version of naked.
When you leave class,
which is what you said.
Yeah.
When you go back to the dorm or whatever, do you say, like, "I was drawing naked ladies," or do you say, like, "I was drawing nudes"?
I was saying I was drawing nudes.
Flick your cigarette.
If I was talking to anybody except art students, it would be I was drawing nudes. Otherwise, if I came into, Garrett Hall and four friends of mine were like, "Hey, where you been?" I was like, "I was drawing naked people."
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened all the time.
Naked? Nude? Naked?
My friends and I, we non-verbal communication, we just kind of grunt and everything.
Yeah.
Really chromatic.
Nude.
So we're about an hour into this pod, and if you guys have noticed, there is a minimal to non-existent amount of clicking and popping, unlike the last dozen episodes. That is due to our... Would you stop? Our brand new mic cables.
Yay!
Finally, some production value.
It's Adam's Christmas gift to the podcast.
It is my Christmas gift to the podcast.
Thank you, Adam.
Yay. As you guys know, little shit like this costs money. We do have a donate button at the damartmajors.podomatic.com. It's on the right. If you guys ever feel like helping out the pod.
It's so Christmas. Be generous. At least we're not ringing a bell outside of the store.
Any money donated to the show would ultimately go to new equipment, better equipment, new events that we have up and coming. Hopefully, maybe my tattoo, and of course, beer.
Podcast money cannot be subsidized.
We are not going
tattoo.
To be subsidizing your
it
tattoo.
It can be
no.
if it's an episode.
No,
come on.
No.
Only if it's paying me to do your tattoos for you.
No, I will not. I will not
subsidize.
None of this. If anything, people are going to pay so you don't get a tattoo. All right.
All you need.
Look,
is some...
if y'all give money to their podcast, which I would appreciate, so that they can get together and do this thing all the time, and I can do homework. You'll get a sticker. You'll get a shout out on Twitter. They might say your name on the podcast. They might not.
Why don't we just kickstart our podcast?
Why don't we just kickstart your nipple tattoos?
I'm not going to get them tattooed on my nipples.
if we
can raise $100, I will do the tattoo.
Wait a minute.
On my nipples or anywhere
I should have asked Gabe this.
You don't have
he's actually
this.
Done this before. By the way, congratulations to Gabe
for
funding.
Oh, yeah. And absolutely.
Congratulations, Gabe. Yay.
But anyway.
Purgatory Pub 2 Kickstarter. Be on the lookout. It will be done later on in 2015.
I feel like we have like 10% of an influence on that. But... I'm actually, so like with Kickstarter, it's pretty much win-win, right? You don't fund it, you don't get any money. Well, that sucks, but you're not out anything. And if you do fund it, then you get a bunch of money.
Well, if you don't get the amount of money that you're requesting, it's like soul-crushingly embarrassing.
Well,
no, it's not.
It's embarrassing
on the
internet.
There are so many people on Kickstarter that don't give, I mean, no one cares.
I don't know, I've never done a Kickstarter.
For me,
it would be fucking disappointing.
Like,
shit.
I would
say
50% of the Kickstarters that I've given money to, I've gotten my money back because they didn't win.
Yeah.
I've done four or five and only one, and I will, I don't know.
I don't keep track of my Kickstarters because I delete my account as soon as I'm done with the Kickstarter and I open a new one because I'm weird. But
are you paranoid about the government following you?
No, not really. It's actually more so I forget my passwords and I have to open a new account.
Oh.
Anyway, but no, what happens is a lot of the times I actually just fish around for Kickstarters that have already been completely funded, but they have really cool shit, and I see which gifts they still have available, and I donate so I can get that gift. It's guaranteed. Basically, I'm buying gifts for myself.
Well, and that's what, you know, Gabe described Kickstarter as a way to pretty much just take in pre-orders.
Yeah. So what do y'all want to do a Kickstarter for?
Adam's tattoos? I don't know.
New sound equipment. How about that? How about three headphones?
Headsets?
No.
Whatever the heck you put over your head.
I would rather have, handheld mics.
What?
What? What?
I do not want to sit here.
Oh, you mean for on the road? For travel?
No, just
interviews?
So I can actually have my own microphone in my face.
Well, I mean,
for another microphone.
In fairness, Amazon did have a multi-track, multi-input recording device on Black Friday. It was $350, and I'm just saying our loyal listeners did not help us out to achieve that earlier.
Well, that's because they didn't know.
I know.
They didn't know.
So
man, really, we should do a Kickstarter for like $500.
Donate money. Theoretically, we will do a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
We'll get cool stuff, and we'll tell you what it's going to be later.
If we can get $100 through donations.
See, but with Kickstarter, you can't do $100. You got to do like in the thousands.
$50 for a salad.
Can you really?
And he got $3,000, which he donated.
He got way higher than that.
Yeah, like he was like, I want $50 to make egg salad. And potato salad. And he got into the thousands and donated it all to charity.
That is admirable, but fucking stupid.
He also put out a potato salad recipe book.
All right, so maybe we will go to the Facebooks and the Twitters and we will have a post. And we'll even ask the listeners, should we do a Kickstarter to raise funds? Or would you just go to the damnartmajors.podomatic.com and do the donate button?
But see, with a Kickstarter, you can promote the living bejesus out of it and not feel like you're being a whore or whatever. But and then also, there's the possibility that the odd stranger who's never even heard of our podcast could come across it and be like, yeah, I'll give $1. Whatever.
I mean, that guy.
Yeah, right? Guy. Well, I mean, you like look at Gabe's thing and you look at some of the people that donated and it's like, you've got guys up in Canada and Wichita, something else, and you know, all over the place. And they could just be the odd person because he got featured for a day. And just the odd person saw it and was like, yeah, sure, I'll give $1. Whatever. $5. Sweet. Comic book, I'll take 10.
All right, be on the lookout.
We're doing fundraising. It's going to be real cool. You'll get great stuff and we'll do cool stuff with it. We'll tell you what all that'll be later.
And all the rewards will be up to Aaron to fulfill.
No.
So good luck ever getting
it. Man, I will CNC out some I will CNC out some wicked awesome Damn Art Majors beer bottle openers that you mount on your wall.
So next week I'm giving out free drawings of Adam with a dig in his mouth. It'll be a really
But will
nice
you
day.
Charge by the hour or will you charge a flat fee?
I'm doing this shit pro bono.
Oh, snap.
The next one will be better.